overload. And nobody's gonna go to school today. She's gonna make them stay at home. Daddy doesn't understand it. He always said she was good as gold. And he can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be shown?
Good afternoon, Las Vegas. This is your boy, Jeffrey with a G, with another live edition of Vegas Nonstop. It's 2 o'clock on Monday. That can only mean one thing. We're here, and you're not. We have an unbelievable show for you today to kick off the last month of the year here in December. We have in studio with us entertainer extraordinaire, Janine Valentine.
Well, hello there.
We've got, right from the UK, Tony the Drummer. With me, as always, for the last 17 and a half years, the Master of Mayhem, the Ambassador of Fun, and the Wizard of Whoopi, Jonathan J. Scott.
Thank you, Jeffrey, with the G Line 1. Go ahead. Good afternoon, boys and girls, moms and dads, and children of all ages. Welcome to another exciting adventure of Vegas Nonstop on NBC Sports Radio 920 AM.
It's Vegas Nonstop with Jonathan Scott. Vegas Nonstop. Vegas Nonstop.
You forgot Gigi.
With Gigi. Oh, we need some harmony there. I'll have to record that.
Tony, do you sing?
No.
Plays the
he
drums.
Bangs things for a living.
Drums, yeah.
What is banging things for a living like?
Oh, my Lord, that's
well,
a
that's
loaded
a Vegas question if I've ever heard one.
What do you do? Bang things for a living.
I have dated drummers in the past, yeah, and that's what I said. I was like, never date somebody who bangs things for a living.
Oh,
and I'm
okay,
just,
yeah.
I just want you to know out there.
What's
you know,
it like to be the girl singer in a band?
Oh,
hashtag me too.
I mean, like, you know, Fleetwood Mac would probably be the best example of, you know, incest within a band.
Oh, yep.
Right? That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
It
Tony
happens.
Newman, Richard Anthony, Tony Newman, born March 17th, that's St. Patrick's
yeah, it
Day.
Is, yeah.
It is. Heringobrog.
Yeah.
From Southampton, Hampshire, England, is an English rock drummer, was at various times a member of the band Sounds Incorporated, Mayblitz, Three Man Army, T-Rex, and Boxer, has performed with Jeff Beck, David Bowie, George Harrison, Robert Palmer, Eric Clapton, Donovan, Mick Ronson, Gene Vincent, Crystal Gayle, the Everly Brothers.
Yeah.
Anybody we've heard of?
No, I don't think so.
My goodness gracious. All right, I'm going to finish reading this up.
Okay.
In 1965, Tony played with Sounds Incorporated as one of the acts opening for the Beatles at
Woo!
Shea Stadium.
I've heard of those guys.
In New yeah. York.
Have you heard of them?
I've got to start with that. Talk about mayhem.
Yeah, oh, that was something else. Yeah, we came over. It was the first date of the tour with the Beatles. And so we do Shea Stadium. I'll never forget it because... we were walking down to do a sound check, and there was a band there just hidden in like a cubby hole, and they were like playing Satisfaction, the Stones, and they looked at us like angrily, like, we know what we're doing here, you know, we're different, we're alternative. It was just a weird vibe. And then you go to the stage, and it was miles out on the baseball pitch. And they had like about four huge Voice of America speakers. That was it. Four great bins. So, you know, they opened the show. We'd been touring with the Beatles for a while. So we were sort of used to the screaming. Sort of. You know?
Sort of.
Yeah,
not like a bunch of crazy New Yorkers in Flushing.
No. So anyway, we do the show. We do the show before them, and I'm using Ringo's drum kit. And they.
I'm
put
sorry, I have to interrupt you. Who were you playing with at the time when you opened for the Beatles?
Okay, I was playing with a band called Sounds Incorporated.
Thank you.
We started in 1960, ancient times.
Wow.
And we had three horns in the band, an organ player, bass guitar, and drums. And we were used a lot by the American acts who came to England, like Mary Wells.
Telephone.
Yeah, Telephone. Sorry about
Who's
that.
Who's that, McCartney?
Yeah, hi, Paul. How you doing, buddy? All right?
Sir Paul.
Yeah, you're as old as I am. Anyway, so we were very popular in England, and we were very fortunate because we worked for all the American acts that came to England. So I got to work with Little Richard and Sam Cooke and Benny King and... and Jerry Lee Lewis and Pratley are all of my idols.
I was going to say all the idols, all the icons.
That's right.
Wow.
And there's me from this little tiny town in London playing drums for them. It was just ridiculous, you know. So anyway, we played our set in front of the Beatles and did a drum solo and everything.
The Beatles.
We've
been saying it wrong all this time. We say the Beatles. It's the Beatles.
You know, it's amazing to me that it was over 50 years ago that the White Album came out. 50 years ago.
Yeah, I know. It blows my mind. So many of us have departed this life. You know, and it seems like weekly somebody's dropping dead that I knew, you know. And I'm still here and I feel great, you know. And I did all the rock and roll stuff for years.
The rock and roll lifestyle.
It was a real rock and roll life. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Anyway, what I wanted to say was that we did our set before the Beatles. And when we finished our set, there's as much noise coming from the crowd as when we went on. And the bass player looked over at me, he said, "I really don't know whether they're glad we're leaving or they like us." You know, they got a bit, since we're finished, they're getting a bit closer to the Beatles.
I mean, how could anybody even hear anything? The screaming was just ridiculous, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was crazy. And, I can't tell you. The security was ridiculous. Cause all these kids were trying to get on the stage and the security guards were, like, dead with lifting these girls back into their seats. I mean, it wasn't like it is now.
My generation, it was, you know, Michael Jackson.
Yes.
You know, the whole Michael Jackson and the Victory Tour and all that stuff. But nowadays, I have a daughter who listens to K-pop nonstop, Korean pop music.
Oh.
And I told her, I said, you need to Google the Beatles fans and see the kind of reaction that those girls have. Because the reaction that these kids have today for this Korean pop music is exactly like the Beatles. They go absolutely bananas. I mean, I've never seen anything like it, only on video, on Google and all that stuff. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, they used to do it for Frank Sinatra. All those years and years and years ago, you know, when Frank was big, they'd have the screaming girls. I didn't know that till later. But I watched my sons, you know, my two youngest sons. And they have mosh pits.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, no, I don't do that.
No.
Well, they just jump into the...
Yeah, and then they're throwing their arms around them. People are getting knocked out. Men and women are getting knocked out. Kicked. And that's like, you know, everything's... you motherfuckers, what are you doing? Huh. You know. Not in time or in tune, but it's real music.
How long had you played before the Shea Stadium as a band?
Oh, about a year.
Wow.
Yeah, the first gig we did, I turned professional when I was 17, and within like 5 or 6 weeks, we got this gig with Gene Vincent, who was a big American star, you know.
What were some of the hits of Gene Vincent?
Bebopalula.
Bebopalula,
she's my baby.
Bebopalula,
I don't mean maybe. Bebopalula, she's my baby. Bebopalula, I don't mean maybe. Bebopalula, she's my baby now. My baby now, my baby now.
Next week on Vegas Nonstop.
Just having fun.
Don't listen to this again.
I didn't remember. I didn't remember Gene Vincent's song, but yeah, that was. And the Beatles covered that song.
Probably.
I think everybody probably covered that song.
See, we did Hamburg with the Beatles, you know, and that was like the nest of the upcoming Liverpool groups. So we went there with like Little Richard and Gene, went there with Gene Vincent, and it was in the red light district. And all of these bands from Liverpool would go and play, including the Beatles, and they'd do 5 or 6 sets a night, finishing at 4 in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah, and so we got to meet Jerry and the Pacemen and the Searchers and the Undertakers and all those Liverpool bands. And, of course, everybody's on speed, see?
Is that what they were doing?
Oh, yeah. It was
amphetamines?
Preludin. So everybody's doing yakking away, and the sets are really quick, really quick.
Yeah.
So, you know, King Size Taylor recorded the Beatles, and they sold like 150 million copies of this bootleg tape. And there was big litigation from Apple to Ted Taylor, and they offered him money. And George Harrison said, look, we don't really want this out. You know, this isn't a true representation of the Beatles. We'll pay you something, but we can't have this out because we're all on Prellers. You know, it's all fast and peace graters, you know. Everyone's having a really good time.
Oh, well, my God.
Tony and I met at the Smith Center for the Performing Arts with our friend Lon Bronson, who was doing, I don't want to say it was a tribute, but he was doing the music of David Bowie.
That's right.
And you actually performed and recorded with David Bowie, yeah?
Yes, I did, yeah.
And what was the name of the album?
Oh, Diamond Dogs and David Live, I did. Yeah, it was one of those good years I was having. I was working, it was a January, and I'd been playing with The Who. You know, I'd been doing the track for Tommy, the movie.
That was a brilliant
track. Ken Russell. So, you know, I got to play with The Who doing Pinball Wizard.
Right.
And we had the joint jumping, I mean.
With The Who or with Elton John?
No, he covered it later, unfortunately.
For the album, for the movie.
I did some other tracks, which I can't remember.
It's all the speed.
It's not the age, it's what was happening at the time, right?
Yeah, the prelude had gone then. It was back powder by that time, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So what I loved about The Who, they had a wall of cases of Remy Martin. So
the cognac.
I'm not sure. Yeah, so that was a great experience. I got a call and they said that a bass player friend of mine said, look, he said, we're in trouble over here. David has recorded with this drummer and he doesn't like what he's done. Will you come over?
Wow.
So I came over and I cut some tracks with David and him and I just hit it off. Like $1 million. He was wonderful to work for because I'd ask him what he wanted to do and we'd sit and play it. And if I changed it around a bit, you'd see him light up. He was like a great receptor of good vibes and like original material. I loved
that wonderful creative brain. That's amazing that you got to work with him.
So then he asked me to go on the road and I did. And we did all the American tour with Diamond Dogs, which was a huge show in those days.
Was that before Ziggy Stardust?
After, I think.
After, yeah.
So I did all that, and I lasted about a year with that, and I got totally burnt out and went on to other things, you know. But it was a wonderful experience. And that band the other night sounded really, really good, and it was amazing to listen to somebody else playing what you've done and how they saw it and how you see it.
Well, it's great that you enjoyed it. We have a plethora of wonderful musicians here in Las Vegas. So
I know you do.
That's great. I'm glad you got to see. Lon Bronson Band is one of the greatest that we've had for decades here in Vegas.
Well, 28 years. He's had Lon Bronson All-Stars for 28 years, which is certainly more than most marriages have lasted.
Both of mine put together.
More than mine.
I'm mine.
Gigi's never been married. Yeah. You'll find her, sweetheart.
Hence the smile.
Hence the smell.
Hey, I had to ask you about Donovan.
Donovan? Yeah, I was working with the jet
Mellow
band.
Yellow.
Mellow. What happened there was I was with the Jeff Beck group. Rod Stewart was in the band and Nicky Hopkins on piano. Ronnie Wood from the Stones was playing bass.
Yeah, I met Ronnie.
And the producer was Mickey Most, and he said, would you do a track with Donovan? So we did a couple of tracks. So it was actually Donovan with the Jeff Beck group. But we were in the studio, so I didn't get to know him very much. We just did that one thing, and they were good tracks. You know, what did we do? Goo Goo Baraba Jagger was one.
Easy for you to say.
You got me there. I have no idea.
I wouldn't even begin to get close. We've got Tony Newman in studio. We're going to take our first commercial break. We're going to come back with a little more with Tony. We're going to get with Jeffrey with a G and talk a little bit about NFL. And believe it or not, Tony's an NFL sports fan as well.
Yes.
So stay right where you are listening to Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio, 920 AM. Stay right where you are.
Amore Taste of Chicago is one of Las Vegas' number one restaurants for Chicago thin crust, deep dish, and stuffed pizza. Serving Chicago's famous Vienna hot dogs and Italian beefs any way you like it. Dipped in beef gravy with sweet peppers or hot jardinera. Or try a cheesy beef with melted mozzarella on top. along with some of your favorite Italian dishes like chicken parmigiana, fettuccine alfredo, shrimp scampi, and homemade lasagna. Amore has some of the best deals on baby back ribs in Las Vegas. On Rib Wednesdays, Amore features a full slab of ribs with three sides for only $12.95. Amore offers beer, wine, and a selection of homemade sangrias. Join Vegas nonstop every Monday at Amore's Taste of Chicago for the after-the-show Monday night football party for good food, drinks, and great company. Meet their celebrity guests and make some new friends. Amore, Taste of Chicago. Chicago-style pizza, tender baby back ribs, delicious Italian food in a casual setting surrounded with Cubs, Bears, Blackhawks, Bulls, and White Sox sports memorabilia. Amore, Taste of Chicago is on Durango between Flamingo and Twain in the Parkview Plaza. Amore, Taste of Chicago. Food the way you remember it.
Hey, everybody, need a break from your job, your spouse, the traffic? Escape from it all at Frankie's Tiki Room, 1712 West Charleston, a cool-as-hell cocktail lounge where you can get lost in a world of South Seas exotica with just a hint of Las Vegas kitsch. Order up your buzz from a menu of exotic, out-of-this-world rum drinks or just enjoy an icy cold beer. Relax, gamble, and hide from the world in classic Polynesian style at Frankie's Tiki Room, 1712 West Charleston, just west of downtown. Frankie's Tiki Room, just look for the pink neon.
The Las Vegas housing market is back on the rise. If you're looking to buy a new home or sell your current home, Fred and Rita Trujillo invite you to call or write them. Fred and Rita have been serving the Las Vegas community for over 25 years, providing professional real estate service at all levels. Whether you're looking for a luxury estate or a starter home, Fred and Rita can help you from open to close. Call Fred and Rita Trujillo today at 702-493-8044. That's 702-493-8044. You can also email Rita at ritatrujillo.com. Fred and Rita Trujillo, Las Vegas realtors who care.
Cheap drinks and cheap thrills at the legendary Double Down Saloon, 4640 Paradise Road. See the hottest local, national, and international bands where there's never a cover charge. You've heard the stories. You know the legend. Drink, smoke, gamble at the world's most popular punk rock dive. Birthplace of the original Bacon Martini. Home of the fabled ass juice. Check out what's up at DoubleDownSaloon.com or on the Double Down Saloon app. The Double Down Saloon, where every show is a free show. The Double Down Saloon, 4640 Paradise Road, one block south of the Hard Rock Hotel. Shut up and drink!
For more than 35 years, A.A. Cassaro Plumbing has been servicing the Las Vegas Valley for general repairs, water conditioning, water line detection, and so much more. Specializing in bathroom and kitchen remodeling, A.A. Cassaro Plumbing and A.A. Cassaro Construction feature over 35 years of satisfied customers. A.A. Cassaro is family-owned and operated. Check out aacassaroplumbing.com today.
At Comfort Care Dental Group in Las Vegas, we know there's more to great smiles than teeth. We provide trusted, comfortable care tailored to your individual needs. We offer appointments 7:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. and on Saturdays and Sundays, so you won't have to miss work. Plus, patients with insurance pay $0 out-of-pocket for teeth cleanings. You can schedule an appointment online anytime, 24/7 at ccdgp.com. See why our patients can't stop smiling. Plenty of free parking, so call or book today. Comfort Care Dental Group on 7th Street off Charleston.
NBC Sports 920.
Ever since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball. From Shaw down to Brighton, I must have played them all. But I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall. That deaf, dumb, and blind kid.
Coming to you with Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio 920 AM. In studio, drummer Tony Newman, who's played on Tommy, has played with Eric Clapton, opened for the Beatles. Just kind of, as Janine would say, a plethora of musicians.
Of icons, not just musicians, of icons.
The English invasion. I would call it the English invasion.
He's responsible for it.
But Tony also lived in Tennessee, so he's also a Tennessee Titans fan, I found out.
Yes, I am.
And watches American
football.
They won
yesterday. They won.
Did they?
Yeah.
Jeffrey with a G. Yeah. Want to give us a little wrap-up from yesterday's NFL and what's going to be happening tonight?
Well, I mean, we got, you know, we're in week 13, you know, coming towards, actually week 14 now, week 13 just ended. Speaking to your Tennessee team, my friend, they did win yesterday, but they didn't look very good against very bad New York Jets team.
I know, it didn't.
It was, they were expected to win by much, much more.
Yes,
much
that's right.
Much easier. You do have a battle in the NFC East tonight, which is going to be a... an interesting game. Neither team has really played very well this season. You're looking at two average teams, both sitting right around 500, one at 6-5, one at 5-6. The defending champion Eagles have not been able to sort of put together really any sort of a string of consistency on either side of the ball all year, whether it was at the beginning with Nick Foles or now with Carson Wentz. I expect this to be a close game, as it usually is in division rivals this time of year, late in the season. We're already into December. We're towards the last 3-4 weeks of the year. Eagles are currently favored by 5.5 points. We do know the Redskins lost their starting quarterback, Alex Smith, a few weeks ago. I'll still take the Redskins here plus 5.5 points to keep it close. I'm sure the Eagles find a way to win by 3 or 4 points, but I do like the Eagles here. I'm the Redskins, rather, with the 5.5, John.
I have to ask how you're doing with the Superbook, because I looked this morning and nobody did really well except for the books.
I was 2-2-1 this week, so I was 500, and I remained 6 games above 500 on the season. So I'm tracking right at around 59.5-60% right now.
Well, the guy that's in the lead is at over 75%.
Yeah, I know.
75%, this son of a gun is picking the right, and it goes against the spread, Janine.
Is it just me, or are the NFL teams just all over the place this year? Like, nobody really is very consistent at all. Like, I'm trying to, you know, get my bearings and learn, you know, the gambling and the terms and this and that, and I'm going, I don't want to waste my money.
Well, it's been a tough year for handicapping. I mean, there was a story in the paper in the RJ this morning.
We were just talking about it. I was saying that with the new league changes and the rules and the way coaches are now calling plays ridiculously, going for two on the first touchdown of the game when it's not necessary, it's changing the scoring, it's changing the spreads, whereas 3, 7, and 10 used to be the numbers that you watched for, or 3.5, 7.5, 10.5, or the other way around. You can't rely on that number anymore. It doesn't work.
Well, it's tough all the way around. The Bears playing without their quarterback. What was the big news is the Packers head coach getting
fired. First time ever in franchise history, the Packers have fired their head coach midseason. Mike McCarthy was let go yesterday.
And do you think it was because of that particular game or the whole season?
I think it's been long before this season. I think it's been for at least 2 or 3 years now. The problem is, a part of the fallout is people are blaming Aaron Rodgers.
What? That's not right. I mean, how do you feel about the firing of this guy, though? You think it's a good move?
Oh, yeah. I think they should have fired him a long time ago.
Okay, well.
Yeah, they have underachieved for a long time. This team has the best quarterback in the game right now, Aaron Rodgers, and he's surrounded by relatively good talent, but yet year after year, they're not getting into the playoffs, winning postseason games, moving on to the NFC Championship game. I mean, Rodgers is in the league a good 10-plus years now. He's been to one Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And this guy should have been to a lot more with the kind of talent they have on that team.
Well, is there any speculation on who they're bringing on?
I don't know.
They have an interim coach, but...
Yeah, but I mean, down the road, they're going to probably look to bring in some young, you know, up-and-coming coach, very similarly to... Josh McDaniel.
Well, maybe you should apply. I mean, you're available, right?
I am.
Now coaching for the Green Bay Packers. Jeffrey with a G.
Would you move to Green Bay?
Line one, go ahead.
I mean, the weather's not great there, but I mean...
Would I move to Green Bay if they want to give me the head coaching position? Is that really a question?
The frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
Obviously, being facetious, I hate to get your hopes up. I'm really sure it's not going to happen, though.
I don't think so, given my resume shows zero coaching experience.
Sometimes it doesn't matter.
That's a very good point.
Well, looking ahead, Thursday, the Jacksonville Jaguars are playing Tony's Tennessee Titans on Thursday Night Football on Fox. Tennessee Titans are favored by 4.5 points, and the over and under is just 37.5 points. Tony, do you watch the team, you know, every week?
I try to, but they're so unreliable. You know, it's like my buddies say in Tennessee, you know, they might win, but don't put money on them. Never put money on the Titans.
Well, Jeffrey always says, you know, bet with your brain.
Bet smart, not with your heart.
Yeah,
smart,
yeah,
not with
right.
your heart.
That's right.
So, Jeffrey, what do you think of Jaguars against Tennessee Titans for a Thursday night matchup?
I think it's a snoozer. I don't think many people are going to watch the game. It really has no implication on any sort of postseason or division outcome. But I don't know. I'll take Jacksonville plus four just because it feels like a 3-point game.
What is the next set of games or game that you're looking forward to that will actually make a difference?
You're talking about an individual game like coming up on the schedule?
Yeah, like a week 14 regular season. What are we looking at here?
How about your Patriots yesterday?
Well, I think the Rams and the Bears is going to be a great game this weekend. It's going to be the Sunday night game.
Sunday night, Chicago Bears.
That's got a great. That's got all sorts of playoff implications there. I mean. Those are two of the top teams. I'd love to see how a West Coast / Dome team like the Rams does in Chicago in the middle of December in that cold, brutal weather.
Tony, go ahead. You have a question?
Oh, no. Right. I'm just trying to get some tips here so I can win some money.
You know, I know what those glasses are called. Those are called pince-nez.
Pince-nez, yeah, French. They're French.
Yeah, those French.
But I get them, they just go on the back of your phone, see.
Ah, there so you go.
I easy. Mean, the surprising Dallas Cowboys suddenly yes. find themselves atop the NFC East ever since they acquired Amari Cooper from the Raiders. He has sort of... You know, giving them a big boost of energy on both sides of the ball. They're playing much better. I think they've won 3 or 4 games in a row.
How come the Bears are not playing Mitchell Trubisky? You know, his shoulder is gone, but it's not his throwing arm.
Well, they don't want to run the risk of him doing more damage to the shoulder, even though it's not his throwing arm. You have to realize, even though he's not throwing with that arm, he is getting under center. He is in the pocket. If that arm's not working great, you have increased chance of perhaps... fumbles or just doing more damage to it. And if it's not necessary, then maybe you don't want to play him.
Well, somebody asked me and I'm asking you. So.
I mean, I thought New England looked very good at home yesterday against a very solid Minnesota team. I mean, once again, we find ourselves in the beginning of December. Patriots are 9-3. They're going to win 12 or 13 games and will be at the top of the AFC. Kansas City's at 10-2, so we need to make up that one game if the Patriots want to host the AFC Championship in Foxborough, which I think will decide who wins that game.
How about the Steelers giving that game away yesterday to the Chargers?
You know, it's funny you said that, John. We were here on the show last week, and I said Pittsburgh went to Denver last week. They were down by 7 late in the game. They hit first and goal on the 2. Mike Tomlin calls a series of garbage calls with a guy like John Connor, Antonio Brown, and Ben Roethlisberger in the lineup. He throws a fade to the corner, no good. He runs Connor to the left, no good. And then Big Ben throws a free throw that gets intercepted in the end zone. You take that loss combined with yesterday's loss at home, now this team's on the outside looking in. Mm. And in 2 weeks, they went from being the hottest team in the AFC, winners of 5 or 6 in a row, and now they're literally on the outside looking in, and that's where bad coaching causes good teams to not make the playoffs.
Why is this plethora going on this year of bad coaches? I mean, have they all got together and say, just give everyone dumb moves?
It was either 2 or 3 years ago where they changed the distance of the extra point. I want to say it was 2, maybe. And ever since then, you have these guys that are the statistical geniuses that sit back and say, well, now that you've moved that extra point further back, the chances of making it are less, whereas they compare the probability of making a 2-point conversion versus an extra point, which still isn't even close. Mm-hmm. You're still going to be in the 80 percentile on the extra point versus in the high 40s on the 2-point conversion. So you tell me why a coach... His team goes down first drive of the game. They score a touchdown, and he goes for 2. There's no need for it.
Yeah.
They're just
well, what
the
was
calls
the, what
are
was
ridiculous.
The need in the first place to change that rule 2 years ago? What?
I like the fact that they changed the rule because
tell me
the
why,
extra
though.
Point beat was almost always a gimme.
Okay.
Like, it almost never missed. I think it was like 98.7%.
Right.
By pulling it back, we have seen games where guys are not missing extra points. It's not an automatic. So yeah. I think it came down to either we're going to eliminate it or we're going to move it back, mm-hmm. and I'm glad that they moved it back and didn't eliminate it.
I've never seen 3 chances for the field goal at the end of that game.
Wow, that was something else.
And you know what? Maybe this is the year, finally, that Phillip Rivers and the Chargers get over that hump where they can go on the road and beat a Pittsburgh, maybe can go on the road and beat a New England. to come back from, what is it, 23-7 at halftime last night in Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
You're a West Coast team on the road in Pittsburgh, Sunday night, national audience. You know, I tip my hat to them. They did a great job.
I'd like two tickets to Pittsburgh, please. Speaking of which, a couple of announcements. Thursday, December 13th at 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., Sapphire Gentlemen's Club Las Vegas is hosting its own Sweet 16 anniversary party with two of my favorite words in a sentence, open bar. With live performances by Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights. Oh, I love them.
They're fun, right?
They're really fun.
And Hard Knocks, an upscale, lavish buffet offering seductive candy sweets.
Ooh.
Sapphire Sweet 16 promises to be the best Sweet 16 party you've ever been to. Sapphire Las Vegas also offers complimentary limo pickup and delivery. That's on Thursday, December 13th. And we're going to be doing our podcast live.
So we get to I'm not going to be here.
We get to look at boobs.
Damn.
I love that.
I have
that.
My own pair to look at. Thank you very much.
Why does it always have to be about you? Tomorrow and Thursday, we're going to be at Rockin' Riley's on Las Vegas Boulevard. Jeffrey calls it, like, what do you call it, the best place to watch?
You're on the 50-yard line of the Las Vegas Strip. I mean, it's great. There's TVs everywhere. The drinks are going down smooth. I mean, we always have a good time there.
That's
going
to be the pre-Golden Knights party. We're going to be there at 5 o'clock Tuesday and Thursday. Tuesday, the Golden Knights are playing the Capitals, the defending Stanley Cup champions, and then Thursday playing my Chicago Blackhawks.
Awesome.
That's at Rockin' Riley's. When do you leave?
I'm not going to be there, so...
You're not here this week
at
all?
Don't bother tuning in, people. I won't be there.
Hey! Don't ever say that.
Nice.
Don't ever say that.
Oh, stop.
Friday, we're going to be at
minds.
The world-famous Double Down Saloon.
Oh. When does that new girl start?
Tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Funny today.
We're going to be at the Double Down, world-famous Double Down Saloon, home of what kind of beverage?
The
ass juice.
I'm glad I caught myself. I didn't really want to say it because it's really not a pleasant thing. No.
We're live from the ladies' room at the world famous Double Down Saloon drinking ass juice. That's going to be on Friday at 12:30 in the afternoon. We're going to take a few minutes for some commercial messages and we're going to be back with more of Vegas Nonstop.
Chicago is one of Las Vegas' number one restaurants for Chicago thin crust, deep dish, and stuffed pizza. Serving Chicago's famous Vienna hot dogs and Italian beefs any way you like it. Dipped in beef gravy with sweet peppers or hot jardinera. Or try a cheesy beef with melted mozzarella on top. Along with some of your favorite Italian dishes like chicken parmigiana, fettuccine alfredo, shrimp scampi, and homemade lasagna. Amore has some of the best deals on baby back ribs in Las Vegas. On Rib Wednesdays, Amore features a full slab of ribs with three sides for only $12.95. Amore offers beer, wine, and a selection of homemade sangrias. Join Vegas Nonstop every Monday at Amore's Taste of Chicago for the after-the-show Monday night football party for good food, drinks, and great company. Meet their celebrity guests and make some new friends. Amore, Taste of Chicago. Chicago-style pizza, tender baby back ribs, delicious Italian food in a casual setting surrounded with Cubs, Bears, Blackhawks, Bulls, and White Sox sports memorabilia. Amore, Taste of Chicago is on Durango between Flamingo and Twain in the Parkview Plaza. Amore, Taste of Chicago. Food the way you remember it.
Hey everybody, need a break from your job, your spouse, the traffic? Escape from it all at Frankie's Tiki Room, 1712 West Charleston, a cool-as-hell cocktail lounge where you can get lost in a world of South Seas exotica with just a hint of Las Vegas kitsch. Order up your buzz from a menu of exotic, out-of-this-world rum drinks or just enjoy an icy cold beer. Relax, gamble, and hide from the world in classic Polynesian style at Frankie's Tiki Room, 1712 West Charleston, just west of downtown. Frankie's Tiki Room, just look for the pink neon.
The Las Vegas housing market is back on the rise. If you're looking to buy a new home or sell your current home, Fred and Rita Trujillo invite you to call or write them. Fred and Rita have been serving the Las Vegas community for over 25 years, providing professional real estate service at all levels. Whether you're looking for a luxury estate or a starter home, Fred and Rita can help you from open to close. Call Fred and Rita Trujillo today at 702-493-8044. That's 702-493-8044. You can also email Rita at ritatrujillo.com. Fred and Rita Trujillo, Las Vegas realtors who care.
Cheap drinks and cheap thrills at the legendary Double Down Saloon, 4640 Paradise Road. See the hottest local, national, and international bands where there's never a cover charge. You've heard the stories. You know the legend. Drink, smoke, gamble at the world's most popular punk rock dive. birthplace of the original bacon martini, home of the fabled ass juice. Check out what's up at DoubleDownSaloon.com or on the Double Down Saloon app. The Double Down Saloon, where every show is a free show. The Double Down Saloon, 4640 Paradise Road, one block south of the Hard Rock Hotel. Shut up and drink!
For more than 35 years, A.A. Cassaro Plumbing has been servicing the Las Vegas Valley for general repairs, water conditioning, water line detection, and so much more. Specializing in bathroom and kitchen remodeling, A.A. Cassaro Plumbing and A.A. Cassaro Construction feature over 35 years of satisfied customers. A.A. Cassaro is family-owned and operated. Check out aacassaroplumbing.com today.
At Comfort Care Dental Group in Las Vegas, we know there's more to great smiles than teeth. We provide trusted, comfortable care tailored to your individual needs. We offer appointments 7:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. and on Saturdays and Sundays, so you won't have to miss work. Plus, patients with insurance pay $0 out-of-pocket for teeth cleanings. You can schedule an appointment online anytime, 24/7 at ccdgp.com. See why our patients can't stop smiling. Plenty of free parking, so call or book today. Comfort Care Dental Group on 7th Street off Charleston.
NBC Sports 920 The Game is KBAD Las Vegas.
Jonathan Scott with Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio, 9:20 a.m. If you're anywhere near a computer, we're also live on Facebook at Jonathan Scott LV. We're on iTunes, Google Play, Amazon Alexa, Spotify, and at a theater near you. Join us right after the show at Amore Taste of Chicago for our pizza and podcast. And we're just hanging out and having some fun and talking more football and eating. That's what we do. So joining us in studio, Tony Newman, drummer who's played with T-Rex and just about everybody that you can imagine from the early 60s, British Invasion, Jeff Beck, David Bowie, George Harrison.
George Harrison.
You have a George Harrison story? that you can say on the
air? Yeah, I was going to say, make it PG.
Yeah, I don't do all those.
What? And the Everly Brothers, we have a friend named Adrian Zemed, who's an actor, and his sons are actually touring around the world doing an Everly Brothers tribute.
Are they really?
Yeah, and they're great, and it's really well-received, and the music is just terrific.
Oh, the Everly Brothers was just wonderful. You know, I joined them in about 73, and, you know, it was two men, of course, and it's sort of... they were just really good to us. All the treated us well. The music was hot. We had an English band, more or less. We had Albert Lee on guitar, Phil Cranham on bass, Pete Winfield on piano. Pete had a number one hit with 16 and a bullet, or 18 with a bullet. Just, you know, I mean, one of those one-hit wonders.
It was either 16 or 18, yeah, but there was a bullet.
Yeah, it was a bullet, yeah. I don't know where it went, but... And, yeah, so it was a great band. I really enjoyed it. All the shows were good. You know, I mean, every night, you know, I'd sit behind the drums, and it was very comfortable, and they'd say, "Now, ladies and gentlemen, will you welcome the Everly Brothers?" And you watch them go in and stand together, it puts shivers up your spine. You know, they still had that magic.
Yeah.
And the audience would just melt with them wherever we went, you know. And, of course, Phil's dead now, and so his legacy goes on, you know. But that was my last few years of my playing career was with them. So it's sort of a really nice ending, you know.
What about Eric Clapton?
Eric, I worked with George Harrison, and they were big buds, and... I did some sessions with him, and George was beautiful. We were always friends, George and I. He, you know, right from the touring days, we'd always talk, and I was close to him. So I saw him in England, and he was a best man for a friend of mine's wedding. And he said to me, you know, he said, "Look, we're not going to do everything now. We're going to come back and have the formal wedding. Why don't you come over the house? And I said to him, well, look, I don't really want to do that right now. I'll be back next year and we'll get together. And my wife said, what the matter with you, for God's sake? The Beatle, you know.
Yeah.
I said, well, it is what it is. Anyway, he said, do come over. We might not see each other again. So I went over to his house, which was huge. You know, they had a lake under the house, which you could take little boats on.
Oh, wow.
How cool is that?
Yeah, you could go out to the River Thames. And he told me about the murderer that had come to get him one night.
Murderer?
George. George Harrison's in bed, and he's attacked by this guy with the SWAT team equipment on. He said, George said, you couldn't grab hold of him anywhere, and he's stabbing George.
What?
Yeah, he's stabbing him.
I remember.
Yeah. And
who was it?
I don't know who he was. It was a guy who lived from Liverpool and said the night before, I'm going to murder a Beatle tomorrow. And he thought he was at Paul McCartney's house. You know, it's at George's house. And George said he didn't really know what to do. You know, he said, I jumped out of bed and tried to grab hold of him. And all I could say was, Hare Krishna, Hare Gary Krishna, you know. And nothing stopped. And then he said his wife came in and she had a poker and a lampstand. And she smacked this guy over the head like would put you through to Australia, the strength of it. It didn't even faze him.
Wow.
And it said the continual battering finally smacked this guy to bits. You know, he just was knocked out and knocked senseless. And George went to hospital and fortunately survived. He showed his scars, you know.
How many times was he stabbed?
Oh, it's about 10. I don't know. That's a trivia
question.
How many times was George stabbed on it?
Jeffrey's going to bet on the over and under.
That's right. Where were they? Nice. Above his navel or below?
Oh, that's horrible.
So anyway, you know, he survived, and that was the last time I saw him. He died of cancer, you know. Great guy.
Yeah, and Clapton, talk about, you know, They were putting graffiti. Janine's too young to remember. Clapton is God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, Eric Clapton was up there. I mean, people wanted to play like Clapton.
Yeah. No,
he
I know.
The guy.
Of course I know who he is, and I am a fan. But, I mean, in his heyday, that wasn't my genre.
It's
just colossal, Eric. You know, when they did the Cream revival in 2005. Jack Bruce, Eric, and Ginger Baker. He said that, you know, putting Cream back together took him a month of running shows just to get the stamina together. And, you know, I mean, that's what it takes. He's getting old. And they were great shows. You know, they were very, they were much more subdued than the early Cream because they're not doing heroin anymore. You know, that helps.
He would hope.
You know.
Usually.
Yeah, usually.
It helps me.
Yeah. Me too.
Oh, that black tar, Janine.
Yeah.
Can't get enough. Oh, Lord.
Always paid on a Monday, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mondays are terrible.
Terrible. I'm not going to promote it.
Now, Janine's got a few questions.
I'm curious. You've played with so many icons. I don't know if you could possibly narrow it down. What would be like your top three?
Well, you know, the guy that had the most charisma, without a doubt, was with Mark Bolan with T-Rex, Get It On, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see him get on stage and he had a wonderful charisma. I love Bowie for the music. He was so far ahead, you know, so good. And I love the Everly Brothers. I mean, I worked with them for 13 years and we'd go on stage and it was a pleasure.
Yeah.
It wasn't a drag.
A job,
you know, like it gets.
Yeah.
I've done those
it
job
can become
shows.
Mundane, yeah.
You know, and so those three really, I suppose, off the top of my head. But, you know, there's all sorts of little albums, there's tracks you play in between the major acts that you think are wonderful, mm-hmm. but they're not hits. They're not hits.
But, I mean, the musicality of them, are wonderful.
Wonderful. It's great. You know that.
It's definitely worth a second, third, and fourth listening.
Yeah, you know, you've cut tracks, and they're magic when you cut them. And, you know, you think we've really done something great here, and no one else is interested.
Music is so subjective, you know. So, you know, something, like you said, it's magical for you guys, and then it comes on the air, and people are like, weren't.
Yeah, I know. And for the musician, you know, unlike a painter or something, all we can say is, oh, I did a great session yesterday, or we had a great show last night. And that's about as far as you could go. Unlike an artist who's painted it and say, this is what I thought of, been working on for 3 months, you know.
Well, and you're phenomenal, too, because not only were you a live drummer, but you were a session drummer. And people out there who don't know music don't understand there's a huge difference between those two. So you to be able to do both of those things, that's remarkable.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's a mindset. It comes out of sheer terror, actually.
Are you going to tell us the difference?
Oh, well, he's going to tell you the difference.
Well, yeah, you know, you remember... On stage, you can push and shove the beat a bit, make it exciting. When you go into the studio, it's got to feel nice and it's got to be steady. And they don't need big drum fills. I mean, you don't hear much. All the great tracks is the backbeat. You know, that's all you hear, or some little bit of toms. So you got to make it feel nice, but it's all got to be under control.
Right.
You know, just play it, feel it nice, and nice fills and. Yeah.
I'm sure you felt it as a patron being in the audience of a live concert, right?
Oh,
I mean, it's a very different feel than when you're listening in your CD in the car, because obviously the adrenaline and everything, and everybody's just, I mean, there's nothing like playing to an audience of screaming people. It's just a
big buzz.
So, okay, one last question. If you had a theme song to your life, like, I know you've been through a lot. You've been through, you know, you've been through substance abuse, like you were talking about, and, you know, a couple marriages and stuff like that. And, you know, the road is never paved with gold, right?
That's
so right. What would be the theme song to your life?
Long and winding road.
Mine too.
Not bang a gong.
No, we're not going to bang anything today.
The irony is now recently they have a couple of radio stations in America have banned the song "Baby It's Cold Outside" because they say that the lyrical content is people are offended by it.
Why?
I have no idea. It makes no sense.
Really?
Because of the insinuation of maybe a roofie, or the insinuation of, you know, the hashtag Me Too thing. Yeah. So what just caught my attention is Bobby was playing the Who's Tommy, right?
Mm-hmm.
That deaf, dumb, and blind kid sure plays a mean pinball. I mean, if that was prevalent, if that came out today, I don't think it would be. I don't think it would be as well received. I think people would be highly offended.
Except for the midgets. I saw a great movie. I saw a great movie over the weekend. I saw a great movie called The Green Book.
Oh, I'm dying to see that.
Yes,
I love Viggo Mortensen.
Yeah, it was just a fabulous. Fabulous movie, much better than I thought it was going to be.
There's a lot of controversy about whether or not he'll be nominated for an Academy because of his use of the N-word in the movie.
Oh, jeez.
Really?
Get over it.
With all this effing and blind.
Even though it takes place in the 60s, 70s?
It's in the 60s, traveling down south.
Not that makes it any better, but
it's an ugly word,
but it's a much more common term that was used then by white people in the South.
It's just
you're depicting that generation accurately.
The whole film is really about racism.
I know.
Then how can you not use that word if it's going to be accurate?
Know, you can't say anything without offending anybody.
I know.
No. It's ridiculous.
And we just try our best.
I try every day to offend somebody. That's my goal.
You do it well.
I judge everyone.
Welcome too.
I'm an equal opportunist.
Well, Jeffrey, why don't we come up with a three-team parlay? Just let's get some picks for Sunday.
Well,
you know, I'm going to take my Bears.
Circle four games in the upcoming week that I think have big postseason and divisional implications. And the first one is right at the top of the page. The Baltimore Ravens are traveling to Kansas City to play the Chiefs. This has all sorts of implications in the AFC as a whole, but also implications for Baltimore within their own division now that they're only a half game behind Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh is going to be on the road against the Oakland, so you're going to have to assume that the Steelers are going to bounce back. I got to tell you, I kind of like the Ravens in this one.
You do? I would take the Chiefs on that one.
Tell you why. The Chiefs are coming off two tough games, one where they lost on Monday night to a very good Rams team where they scored 105 points and lost by three. But then they didn't look so hot yesterday in Oakland on the road again. And Baltimore's won three in a row, and this is a very good defense. And Lamar Jackson, the rookie head of Louisville, is playing really, really good football. And he's actually very similar to the Chiefs' rookie quarterback, Mahomes, in that big, strong kid, great arm, ability to scramble. And Kansas City doesn't have a great defense at all.
I bet on the Colts yesterday.
And a guy like, how'd that work out with the big shutout?
It was 6-0?
Against Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Terrible. They killed my ticket.
Yeah, well, Andrew Luck isn't so lucky sometimes.
Not that lucky. I also bet on Scam Newton yesterday.
Why would you do that? I keep telling you to stay away from him.
I know.
He's a scam.
Carolina Panthers against
the Browns. I'm going to take Baltimore plus 7 in what should be a really good game, even though Kansas City can be tough to play. The Sunday night game, the Rams are at the Bears. This could be a lot of fun, but I'm going to take the under in this game. It's coming up right now at 52.5, I believe.
I don't know what the current one is.
I'll tell you the
morning line was 52.5.
Okay, so we'll go by the morning line because I'm not showing an updated line right here. This game is going to be outdoor in Soldier Field. It's going to be very cold. Bears have a great defense. I don't know how they lost to the Giants yesterday in overtime. That's deplorable.
Because they didn't have their quarterback.
I have a feeling that they're going to bounce back in this one. Trubisky should play in this one. I think he's going to be back. And while the Rams are highly talented, I believe that this could be a hard-fought game in the cold, in Chicago. I'm going to go under 52.5. And then the third game I like here is another NFC East divisional game, Philadelphia Eagles at the Dallas Cowboys. I just like the way the Cowboys are playing right now. I saw them beat a very good Saints team and hold Drew Brees to 10 points this week. The Eagles, I don't care what they do tonight. This is not the same team as last year. I'm going to take the Cowboys at home minus 4. And then Monday Night Football, we have Seattle against the Vikings. Again, big NFC implications. Seattle's minus 3.5. I don't like the half point here. I would pay the extra 20 cents to buy down the line.
That's called the hook, isn't it?
It is called the hook.
Janine.
Because he usually gets it right in the mouth.
Half point is the hook.
I like the way Seattle is playing right now at home. I love Russell Wilson. Minnesota is not themselves right now. I saw them yesterday in New England. We know how hard it is to play in Seattle with the 12th man. So I'm going to take the Seahawks minus 3.5 on Monday Night Football.
Oh, this is good stuff.
Tony's liking this.
Oh, I like this. I'm going to have a bet.
Yeah.
Well, it's like something I'd never bet, you see, so I'll have a go at it.
Well, once again, we're going to be at Amore Taste of Chicago over our pizza and podcast immediately after the show. If any of you are hungry and want to stop by and say hi, certainly do that. Thursday, December 13th, next Thursday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., we're going to be at Sapphire Gentlemen's Club. Tomorrow, we're going to be at Rockin' Riley's, and Thursday for the pregame for the Golden Knights. Come by and say hi to that. And Janine, you're going to be out of town.
Tomorrow's Rockin' Riley's? Show.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Tomorrow's Tuesday.
Oh, so you can join us tomorrow.
What time tomorrow?
5 p.m.
Can we make it later? I'm kidding.
5:15? Is that good for you? Tony, give us one more story from rock and roll legends.
Oh, I'm still alive. That's
a
big
deal.
Alive.
I'm still alive. Yeah, Have you ever? Did you ever teach? Did you ever coach? Or
no.
Your boys play drums, though, don't they?
Yeah, 3 of them play drums. Yeah, they're doing all right without me. You know, and no one ever asked me what they should do.
Well, do you have like a super weird fan story that you want to share?
I'd rather not.
People can be, in Italian we say bazzo. They're crazy, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, apparently, I don't remember this, but in the Beatles, when we did Australia with the Beatles, apparently a woman was in my room and she slashed her wrists.
What?
And I don't remember it, so God knows what I was doing.
Did you play the Cavern Club?
Yes, we played the Cavern, yeah.
I was in Liverpool, and I know they moved it, you know, so they call it the Cavern Club, but it's, you know.
I was in Liverpool this year, too. I went and did the tourist thing.
I did, too. I went on the Magical Mystery Tour bus and saw Paul's house and where
Ringo's
they lived.
Play. Yeah, well, my first wife was from Liverpool.
A Scouser.
A Scouser. Oh, yeah, yeah. She was something else. But she was
How'd you get rid of the body?
I did a runner. so she was a big singer, a session singer. She'd do, during the Liverpool thing, she'd do 3 or 4 sessions a day. She was in really great demand.
Well, you've had an amazing career.
Yes,
I
have.
We really appreciate you being here
with us
today.
Thank you for having me. It's been a great pleasure.
Are you retired now, sir?
Yes.
You are retired? Yeah. I can't hire you?
No.
Once again, Tony Newman, everybody. Google him. Check him out.
That sounds dirty.
We have one interesting NFL stat of the week. You ready?
Yeah.
Sure.
Odell Beckham Jr. of the New York Giants, their star wide receiver, has thrown 2 touchdowns over 40 yards this year. Their starting quarterback, Eli Manning, 0.
Wow.
Anyway, thank you, Janine. Thank you, Jeffrey with a G. We're going to be in Amore. Stop by, say hi. Eat well, party hard, my friends. Like us and share us. Share us and like us. And as always, be nice to each
Vegas
other.
Vegas nonstop with Jonathan Scott. Vegas nonstop with Jonathan Scott and Gigi. So